man, also appreciate this week, Wednesday, we were able to do sort of mini conference for the teenagers, and I had that over there Wednesday afternoon, evening. So, man, appreciate our young people, and thank you for Brother David and Miss Jessie helping us out with that, and Brother West, Miss Heather with the food, taking care of all that, and Mrs. Dawn, all those that helped out with that Wednesday night, man, a great time with that. And before I forget, I'll try to mention again tonight, next activity, July 23rd, right? So July 23rd for young people, that Friday night is our next youth activity. All right, good. Brother Jason, come read the scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Man, I love that song. It's Keep Me Safe Till the Storm Passes By. I've been reading a book about some storms and about people going through different things in life. And one of the comments he made, and I used it in Sunday school this morning, I thought was so true. He said, stop thinking about all the storms and stop thinking about all the different things. He said, look in Philippians, you look at Paul, and Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And just think about knowing Christ. He said, forget all that. Let's know Christ. Let's go and seek Christ and know more about Christ. And the storms may not make sense, but at least you'll know the Creator that can help you through those storms. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll be reading verse 10, and it says this, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you, Lord, Lord, the service so far, Lord, has uplifted and honored Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's what we're here to do. And Lord, I thank you for this group of Christians here, Lord, and Lord, that are worshiping Christ. Then, Lord, I do pray for anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior and does not know the Savior that forgives you personally for your sins, as Pastor John Mark just mentioned. And Lord God, there's a difference. And Lord, there's a difference in believing that what Jesus Christ did and in what Jesus Christ did and accepting it yourself and accepting that as what you believe and letting him come into your heart and save your soul from hell. And Lord God, just pray that if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know Christ, Lord, that is why we're here. We're trying, Lord, to worship as Christians, then bring other souls to Christ. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come and worship you. Lord, we thank you for all the different things, Lord. And Lord, just the group of people here that have assembled on this Sunday. And Lord God, I pray that, Lord, as we do think about knowing him and knowing the power of his resurrection, Lord, as the message is preached, Lord God, that Christ would speak to us and we'd let him, we'd allow him to work in our life, the Holy Spirit to work in our life. And Lord, change us. And Lord, make us more like you. Thank you again for all you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And thanks always for the music. I mentioned the choir. And then Miss Ann, Miss Ellen for the special. And Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. So thank you. Man, it takes preparation and time. And it's such a blessing to hear voices lifted and praise the Lord. So thank you for that this morning, as always. And man, do a great job with the music here. And if you're visiting with us today, man, thanks for being here with us on this Sunday morning. Glad to have you with us. We, in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, read the verse there. And you know, this last month or so, we took last week off a little bit because of Father's Day and then geared that more towards dads. But we've been talking about our country, and we started Memorial Day. And what God can do here in the United States of America, I'm convinced that God's not done yet with what he's doing here, not only in America, but here at Gilgore Baptist Church. I think God has more for us to do, and excited about what the future holds for us, and I think also for our country. We can hear so much about us that can be negative, and it's so exciting to know what God is doing, what God is doing, to focus on that. And you look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and we went through a few different stories. We talked about several weeks ago, we talked about Phinehas. And Phinehas stood up from amongst the congregation and through his zeal, and he just made an instant decision to take a stand for what was right. And in doing that, the Bible says that God turned his wrath away from the whole nation of Israel because one man stood and said, I'm going to do what's right to do. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about Daniel. And Daniel, same thing for his country. The Bible says he prayed, and as he prayed, the God's wrath was turned away. And so one of the ways we can turn God's wrath away from America is to get on our knees and pray. And to seek his face and to ask him for guidance and for help. And so we talked about that. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about Moses and how as God's anger was kindled by the sin of the Israelites, that Moses, because of his intercession, because of his seeing things the way God sees them, he saw the sin. He also saw the people and the sinners and had a heart for them as well. So as Moses did that, he stepped in, and the Bible says God's wrath was turned away from the people of Israel because Moses stepped in and interceded for them on his behalf. So that tells me this. We've already had several examples. We can do things to turn God's wrath away. We can turn his wrath away from this country, his wrath away from us, from obviously the Bible tells in the New Testament that if you're not saved, the wrath of God abides on you. The way to get the wrath of God off of you is to get saved and to trust Christ as your Savior. But for our people, for our country, for our church, for our families, there's things that we can do. So we have another example here today. And in this story, we have the story of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah became king at 25 years old, and so still a relatively young man. And he becomes king, and he immediately, we won't go into all the details today, we've preached on this before, but immediately, the Bible says the first day, first month, first year, he became king, he starts a process, really, of revival coming to the nation of Israel. And he begins to make changes and do things. And so, but we start here in verse number 10, and we mentioned Phinehas, he just, immediate decision, man, he just did something right away in zeal. We have Daniel who got on his knees and prayed. We have Moses who interceded, stepped really between. The Bible says that breach there. He filled that breach between the Israelites and God and stood in that place and turned God's wrath away. Then we have the example here of Hezekiah this morning. We read the verse there in verse number 10. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. And so he wanted Hezekiah not just for himself, but for his people, for his country. He wanted the wrath of God turned away. So what did he say? He said, it's in my heart to make a covenant. What's a covenant? Well, a covenant is a spiritual decision. He made a covenant, a promise with God, a decision for God. God, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to think about this morning. When's the last time you made a spiritual decision? I'm not saying, and I know, listen, we have decisions we make and you know, what God's called you to do, that's great. But I'm talking about you made a spiritual decision for yourself or for your family and said, hey, I'm going to start doing this. Maybe it was, okay, I'm going to start getting in church, right? I'm going to start attending church. Or maybe it's, with my children, here's what we're going to do in our home. Or a spiritual decision, this is something we're going to begin to practice now. Or this is something we're going to get rid of, whatever it may be. But when's the last time you made a spiritual decision? Probably for some of us, it may have been a while. Now, what will happen sometimes is we'll make spiritual decisions. We first get saved and we'll decide, okay, I'm going to do this. And really, it changes our life. By the way, if salvation doesn't change your life, I wonder about your salvation, right? It doesn't mean, listen, it's not up to me to judge who's saved and who's not. God knows. But I'm telling you this, salvation should change the way you live. It should change our life. It should change everything we do. And so when that happens, you get saved and you make some changes. But if we're not careful, we'll get a little bit complacent and say, all right, we've changed all this, and then we're good for a while. You know how often we need to make spiritual decisions? All the time. I mean, you know what? Because we slip, because we backslide, because we get away. And we see here with the nation of Israel, there's been a long time that has gone by since there's been any spiritual leadership from the kings in this instance. And so Hezekiah steps into a situation where Israel has gone away from God. And the wrath of God is headed towards Israel as judgment for their sin. And Hezekiah says, I'm making a covenant. I'm making a spiritual decision. What is this decision? What is that? And what does that entail? And so the Bible tells us that. Just look at that this morning. Here's some of his decision. What was his covenant? Go to chapter 29. Look at verse number 18. We'll start there. Look at verse 18. It says, then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. The very first thing that Hezekiah did in his covenant decision, he restored the temple worship.
He restored the way they are supposed to worship in the house of God. That's what Hezekiah, as he started this, he brought back what they had done before. Notice, this is going to be a theme throughout this message this morning. He brought back what they did before. He did what they used to. If you notice this, when revival takes place, you don't go to start doing some new thing. You know what happens? You go back to doing what you did before. You know what needs to happen in our country? We need to have revival and go back to what we used to do. That's what, and get rid of some of the things that we're doing now and go back to the old time preaching and go back to the singing like we heard this morning and go back to what we used to do and following what God's Word said even in this country and using God's Word as a basis, what this country was founded upon. And that's what we need to go back to that. And so Hezekiah goes and restores the temple worship. When he did that, what happened? We read in verse 18, the first thing is they got all the uncleanness out of the house of God. They went in the house of God and they cleaned out. You know what needs to happen in the United States of America? We need to get in the house of God and get all the junk out of there. That's what needs to happen. There's a lot. One of the problems in our country is not, boy, all this going on in Congress and in the White House. No, the problem is in the church. There's a lot of sin that has come in. There's a lot of filthiness and uncleanness that's come into the house of God that needs to be gone from the house of God. And look what they did with it. The Bible says in verse number 18, they took those things that they cleansed all the house of the Lord, all the vessels thereof. Let's go back, look at verse, go back to verse number 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house, went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and in the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. They took it all and threw it in the water. And they threw it all in the brook there. They took all that and said, we're getting rid of all this stuff that's in the house of God. And that's a problem today. Within the house of God, that sin that's in there, that things have been let into the house of God over time. So we're going to get rid of those things. And so they brought all those things out, threw them out. Look at verse number 19. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. They brought out the uncleanness, and they brought back what had been cast away. One of the kings that had gone against God had cast away these vessels that they were supposed to use in the house of God. And they went and retrieved those things, cleaned them up, and brought them back. You know what needs to happen? We need, in churches across America, we need to get the King James Bible back in the church. Get some of this other stuff out. Get it back in there. We need to get the right kind of music back in the church. It's not just getting rid of all the junk and the contemporary music. There's getting the right kind of music back in. We need to get the right kind of preaching according to God's Word back in the church. And it needs to be a difference between the world and the church. And that's what Hezekiah did. He made a covenant and said, I'm going to get it back the way it used to be. And restored the temple worship. And so as they did that, they got rid of those things that were unclean. They brought back the things that had been cast away. And then look at verse number 23. Hezekiah tells them to bring this, verse 23, and they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. They offered a sin offering to God. That sin offering, verse 24, and the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar. We sang about the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood of Jesus Christ brings reconciliation for us. You know, the blood reconciles us to God. Our relationship with God is not right because of our sin. And yet through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled back with God. You know what needs to happen in America? The people of America need to be reconciled back with God. And Hezekiah made a decision and a covenant and said, we're going to offer a sin offering. That sin, as we admit our sin and say, this is what we've done wrong, it reconciles us with God. We agree with God that what we did was wrong. And so they were reconciled, verse number 24. And then look also, continue in that verse. It says, they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. So not only reconciliation, but an atonement for their sins. That sacrifice atoned for their sins. This morning, we've already talked about salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, His blood was shed to reconcile you with God, but also to atone for your sins. Because of your sin, that atonement was given so that we can go to heaven through Jesus Christ. And so they offered a sin offering for reconciliation, for atonement. And then look at verse number 30. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. And so as he restored the temple worship, they cleansed the tent, the house of God. They got all their unclean things. They brought back what they had cast away. They offered a sin offering. And then the Bible tells here in verse number 30, they sang praises unto God. Listen, I love music. I enjoy music. I love coming to the house of God and singing praises to God. I try to hold back when I knew the parts of the song that were the hymn that the lady sang today. Those parts that I joined, I didn't know the words of the other part. But man, I want to join in and sing. And I don't want to mess anybody up or anything like that. And I know some of you are like that. And listen, I understand not everybody loves music and all. But boy, it should be that it's not an effort for us to lift our voice in praise to God. That we should have a desire in our heart to sing. And so what happened here, as they restored the temple worship, they began to sing praises to God. They couldn't help themselves because they believed that God, what God had done, and they wanted to make this covenant with Him. And notice how they did that. Look at verse number 26 and 27. It says, "And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded off their burnt offering upon the altar, and when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel." You know what they did? They went back and got the instruments that David had ordained. You know how long David had been since David was king? About 300 years. They got 300-year-old. Now, I don't know how they kept those things in tune and how they did that back then, but they said they took those instruments that David had used 300 years ago. I already mentioned in our country, you think back 300 years ago, right? We're not quite to 300 years since the founding of our country. But you go back, you know what needs to happen as we talked about? Go back. Right? Go. They went back and got those instruments that David had ordained and began to use the instruments that David used. And then we read in verse number 30, it says they sang to sing praise unto the Lord with what? With the words of David and of Asaph the seer. They went back and got the instruments of David. They went back and got the words of David. And that's where they started to sing. They got rid of all the junk they had there, and they began to sing and praise and worship God as David used to. And that's what they wanted to do, and so they used those things that David had. So, listen, this morning, first of all, how do we worship? How is our worship? Have we restored the worship, not just in the house of God, but also for our own selves and our own lives? And so he restored the temple worship, the first part of his covenant. Then secondly, go to chapter number 30, look at verse 1. "And Hezekiah went to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim from Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel." So number one, he restored the temple worship. Number two, he reinstated the Passover. The Passover, of course, was when they celebrated the blood that was shed so that the angel would pass over them. Really a picture of salvation and deliverance from Egypt. And deliverance from the sin and the bondage that was there, and how God had delivered them from that. So what did he do? He restored the temple worship, and then he reinstated the Passover, the celebration of salvation. You know what will help us in our spiritual walk with God is to continually remember that Jesus Christ saved us. Man, to think back on what he did for us, how he paid for our sins, that he saved us. And notice how they did it here in verse number 5. So they established a decree, chapter 30, verse 5. They established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. So they sent out a proclamation, "Let's get together, let's keep the Passover." Look at the end of verse 5. "For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written." You know what the problem was? It wasn't that they weren't keeping the Passover anymore. They weren't doing it the right way. They weren't doing it as it had been written, as God had commanded them. And they started making up a way they could do it themselves and doing, that's the Bible talks about in the New Testament, making doctrine the commandments of men and changing what God had said. And so Hezekiah said, "We're going to go back and do the Passover the way they used to do it, the way God said to do it, the way that he set it up in his word." And so they began to do that. The Bible says that hadn't happened in a long time. They did as it was written in the Word of God. Verse number 8 of chapter 30. "Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into a sanctuary which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you." How is the fierceness of his wrath going to turn away? It tells us in verse number 8, "that yield yourselves unto God and to serve him." Part of the covenant that Hezekiah said we're going to do, we're going to yield ourselves to God. Hey, you know what needs to happen in Gilgal Baptist Church for a group of people to yield themselves to God? Say, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Hey, and to make some spiritual decisions that I'm going to serve God. Hey, don't get complacent with where you are spiritually speaking. Hey, really, I mean, how many times have we said, hey, God, here's what I'm going to do. Hey, this week, I'm going to start doing this. Hey, what's God putting on your heart right now that you know you should do? Maybe something you don't need to be doing that you are doing. Maybe whatever decision it may be. But Hezekiah said, I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to restore the temple worship. We're going to get the temple worship right. And then I'm going to reinstate the Passover. We're going to have the Passover and do it the right way. We're going to yield ourselves and serve God. And tells in verses, look at verse number 7 of chapter 30. And be not to you like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. He said, don't be like those that came before you. Then go all the way to verse 26 of chapter 30. And so they institute this Passover. Verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. In fact, the Bible says they did it for a week. And they said, man, we're having so much fun. We're going to do another week. And they enjoyed it so much. The joy of God was there with them. Verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Again, we're talking about almost 300 years, 250 years before, they had not seen anything like that. You know, if Israel could do something 250 years after the time of Solomon, that went back to what Solomon had done, there's no reason here in America, Gilgal Baptist Church, we can't do things like it was 250 years ago in the founding of our country and see God work there as well. And if they were able to see that and do that, something that hadn't been seen in hundreds and hundreds of years. How are we doing with worship? How are we doing with yielding ourselves? Hezekiah said, I want to make a covenant with God to turn the wrath away. Now I tell you, here's what happens. If you make a covenant with God, make a promise to God, make a spiritual decision for the Lord, and you do that with a sincere heart, and you do that with the right motives, and you do that with the right spirit, then I'll tell you, here's what happens when spiritual decisions are made. When Hezekiah made the spiritual decision, here's what always follows. Here's what always follows. So go to chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 1. Now remember, Hezekiah's the one that made the decision. And he's the one that made this. He's the one that went to the priest and said, hey, let's clean up the house of God. He's the one that sent out letters to everybody and said, hey, let's go ahead and have this Passover. Hezekiah made that decision. He made a promise to God. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change things. And he did. When he changed, guess what happened? The people started to be motivated by what he had done, by his spiritual decision. Look what the people started doing. Now, this is not something we see, as best we know, that Hezekiah told them to do. The people start doing this on their own. Look at verse 1. Now, when all this is finished, all Israel that were present, that was there at the Passover that Hezekiah had instituted, went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, also Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into their own cities. You know what they did? They went out and utterly destroyed those false idols. Hey, we don't have anything there. Says Hezekiah said, all right, now what you need to do next? No, Hezekiah made a covenant, made a decision. Hey, here's what we're going to start doing. They instituted the Passover again. They got in there and they heard the Passover, the preaching, the teaching, all that. And they said, we got to make some changes. And the people began to make changes. Hey, what's it going to take for us to change what we're doing? What's it going to take to get that TV off in your home? I remember this day, maybe we didn't have the TV in our home, right? Hey, when's the last time you made a decision about that phone you have? Hey, this week I'm turning off the phone. We're going to camp a week from tomorrow. And from those that have been to camp, of course, I've been to other camps before. We haven't been to this camp before, but from what I understand, when you're at this camp, no phone service. What a blessing, right? What a blessing. Hey, how about this? How about this week say, hey, no phone service at our house? Hey, get the junk out of there. Right? I tell you, there's so much things that come in there. And well, I've got to check up on this, and I've got to see this. And it's not as if we're always looking at something we're not supposed to. A lot of times, it's just a waste of time. Hey, when's the last time, Mom and Dad, you made a spiritual decision for your children? Say, hey, here's what we're going to do starting now. Well, I don't want to do that just because the preacher said, why wouldn't you do it? If God says do it, just do it. matter who says or who does or where, who came with the idea. Hey, if God's leading you to do this, hey, I'm going to make a decision this week. Because what happens is we do the same thing as the nation of Israel. We go about week after week after week after week, and we come, we sit in the church, and we listen. Boy, that's a good message. Well, that was, man, enjoyed that. That was good. Or, man, maybe that wasn't as good. Maybe, and he must have had a rough night because he didn't preach too well this morning, whatever. And you hear the message. And you go home, and you're saying, boy, yeah, I went to church. That's good. I'm glad. But you know, the Bible says, if you hear and don't do, you're really not any better than the one who didn't hear. And I'm glad you come and you hear. But where's the change? Oh, I've already made all those changes, man. I mean, you mean there's nothing else you can do for the Lord? You mean God's not convicting you? God's not speaking to you? God's not showing you something you're supposed to do? Hezekiah made a covenant with God, a spiritual decision. And it began to affect those people around him. They said, we want these idols gone. The Bible says they utterly destroy them. So what happens? That spiritual decision is made. Hezekiah shows them what he's doing. And they begin. They say, we're getting this stuff out of here. They go on their own. And then also, look what happens next in chapter 31, verse number 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought an abundance of first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, of all the increase of the field. And the tithe of all things brought thee in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwell in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which are consecrated to the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and Levites concerning the heaps, and Azariah, chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. You know what happened? When they made a decision for God, they didn't have to be begged to bring things to God and give to God. They just gave. In fact, the Bible says they gave more. And they had in abundance. And I'm glad, and Brother Bob Valley was here a couple weeks ago, talked about giving in churches it up, and it is. That's great. And our people have been great in giving. But you know what? How much? I'm glad that we give more, and we're not, believe me, not in any financial problems here at all. God's blessed us. You have always been good in giving. But I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of you, you make a spiritual decision, it's not hard for you to give. And the increase in giving is not just because of the stimulus checks that we got over the last year or so. Those help. But it's because, man, we're willing to give. And so you see these people, they want to get rid of the idols. They want to utterly destroy them. And they want to give to God's work. They gave willingly to God. That always happens when you see a revival, when you see spiritual decisions that are made. And then we'll finish with this and go to chapter number 32. Chapter number 32. Love this passage. So here's what happens. Hezekiah makes a spiritual decision. He says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to restore the temple worship. And they restore the worship the way it used to be. By the way, not just for tradition's sakes, because the way it used to be is the way God said to do it. You know, we're supposed to do what we do, not because, well, we've always done it this way. No, we do it because God says to. If God says to do it, we do it that way. So they restored the temple worship. They reinstated the Passover, doing it the way God said to do it. Not the way that Hezekiah thought best. He said, no, let's follow what God says. And so he began to do those things. And you see revival begin to take place. By the way, we didn't take time to read the passage. Well, the Bible says when Hezekiah sent out the letter about the Passover, that a lot of people mocked it. Hey, not everybody joined in, but a lot did. Hey, a lot did join in. Hey, we take the gospel to the world around us. We had our vacation Bible school this week, and there's some that are going to drive by and make fun of that. But I tell you what, there's a lot that are going to respond to it as well. And that's what I can't worry about what the world does. We try to do what God tells us to do. And so he gave the truth and he made his covenant. So when he did that, then the people responded and they utterly destroyed those idols they willingly gave. And then you'll see this as they saw the spiritual sin. I'm telling you, dads, your children will begin to trust you more when they see you make spiritual decisions that affect the home. They may not always like them, by the way. They may not always respond to them in a way, boy, I'm really glad we get to do that, you know. But when you begin to make spiritual decisions and lead your home, those that are under you will trust you more when it comes to spiritual thing. And Hezekiah had made some decisions here. And so guess what happens here in this next chapter? Adversity comes, right? Hey, here comes the bad guys. And we'll see here, we don't have to take time, most of y'all know the story, and I won't go through all of it today. But in chapter 32, they begin to be attacked and besieged. And boy, things are just, man, they're surrounded basically. Hezekiah has to make some tough decisions about what to do. And he cuts off the water supply. He doesn't want them outside to get it. But really, they're just laying siege upon the city there at Jerusalem. He's in a difficult situation. Would you look at chapter 32 and verse number 8, the end of the verse says, "And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Hezekiah spoke, and the people trusted what he said. I want you to notice what he said, because it's true. It was true back in Hezekiah's day. It was true a few hundred years before that in David's day. It's true 250 years ago, 275 years ago, the founding of our country. And it's true today. Look at verse number 6 of chapter number 32. "And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him." Let me tell you this morning, there's more with us than with him. And the enemy that goes against us, we look around in our country sometimes and we see some of the leadership, and we see some of the, even in our own state, and some of the laws that are passed, and some, and say, man, it's like we don't have a chance, right? Yeah, we get, how are we gonna change things? You know, there's more with us than with him. Hey, there's more with us than with those that are doing those things that would go against God. Why? Verse 8, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." We've got the Lord on our side. Hey, this morning, turn God's wrath away by making a spiritual decision. You make a spiritual decision for God, and guess what? Now you've got the Lord on your side. Hey, the Lord to fight your battles for you. We can be strong and courageous when we know we have the Lord on our side. Hey, where are we spiritually? Hey, as we look for our homes, for our families, for our church, for our country, we say, I want to, what can I do to turn God's wrath away? Hey, how about some spirit? Whatever God puts on your heart this morning, this morning, tonight, next week, whatever, say, I'm going to decide to do something. I'm going to make a spiritual covenant with God. Hey, God's working on my heart. I'm going to make a spiritual covenant with him. Hey, this needs to change. Hey, Hezekiah looked around and said, man, this needs to change. This needs to change. This. And he began to change those things. Those that followed after him, they saw what he was doing and they jumped on. They said, hey, we need to get rid of some things too. And when they did that, when their battle came, man, they had a confidence. They could rest comfortably in his words because they knew they had the Lord on our side. He is strong. He is mighty. We have him to fight our battles for us. Father, I pray that you be with us this morning as we listen, Lord, and hear and hopefully take in the teaching from your word, Lord. And I don't know, Lord, I can't be in every home and know every situation. I don't know what each individual in their own heart, what need they may have, Lord. I don't know what decision needs to be made. I do know this, Lord, it's really easy to get complacent in our spiritual life. Lord, it's very easy to be satisfied, sort of go along with how we're doing. Lord, I pray tonight you'd work on heart. There may be somebody here this morning, first of all, Lord, needs to be saved. And Lord, if they've never trusted you as Savior, they have the wrath of God. Lord, and that sin that they've committed will send them to hell, help them realize their need for you. And I pray that this morning, the greatest decision they ever make would be to trust you as their Savior. I pray they do that today. Lord, I don't know what other decision names could be, baptism. It could be joining the church. It could be serving in the ministry. It could be some things in their own heart and own life daily they need to get rid of, some things they need to add to. It could be getting in the Word of God. It could be prayer. It could be being a witness. Lord, it could be so many things. Lord, I don't know. I don't want to just name one, two, three things. Lord, there's so many out there. But Lord, I pray this. I pray that we wouldn't just keep going along satisfied with where we are spiritually. Lord, I pray as Hezekiah did, we look around and say, I need to do something today. I don't want to bring that in. I don't want to allow that to continue. I don't want to have that in my life and bring God's wrath. No, no, we want to turn God's wrath away. And so I pray, Lord, we'd be serious about spiritual things and bring those decisions to you and see changes in our lives, in the life of our family, in the life, in the way our country is, because of people at Gilgrove Baptist Church that said, we're going to take a stand. Well, we have the confidence as we do that, that the Lord will fight with us. Lord, help us to do that individually, in our families, as a church. In Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? The spiritual decision, the first spiritual decision you will ever make, the most important you ever make, is decide to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and say this, you say, hey, I'm not perfect. I surely haven't done anything right, but I have decided to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's been a time where I trusted Him. I know for sure this morning, if I were to die, I know I'd go straight to heaven. If you could say that this morning, just put your hand up like I'm doing. Say, no, I'm saved this morning. You put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say this. You say, listen, I don't know for sure. I don't want the wrath of God to abide on me. I don't want to spend an eternity in hell and separation from God forever. I've heard it before, maybe. I know what I'm supposed to do. We talked about the testimony of Mr. Martin this morning. I believe Jesus died, but do I really believe He died for me? Have ever trusted Him as my personal Savior? If you say, I've not done that, or I'd like to do that, or I'd like you to pray for me. If you just do this, just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I promise you that. If you say, I'm just not sure about my salvation, would you pray for me? You just slip your hand up and say, I'm just not sure. Had some this week at Vacation Bible School. Slipped their hand up and got that taken care of. Make sure they know they're on the way to heaven. Hey, this morning, if you don't know, and make sure and find somebody, one of the men up front here, ladies at the instruments, whoever, and get with them. Make sure you know you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask you this. Where are you in your spiritual life? What spiritual decisions have you been making? I don't think I've made any in a while. I think I'm doing pretty good. Hey, take a look. Hezekiah, took a look. So, man, I got to change some things. Hey, let's turn God's wrath away through the spiritual decisions of Gilgrove Baptist Church. As the music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you. You come forward. So glad you're here this morning. A couple things, of course, tonight. We'll be back 6 o'clock. Choir practice at 4:45.
Junior choir at 5:30. Also, don't forget to sign up on the sheets out there. That will help us a whole lot if you could do that so we can know a number for next week, and we'll do next Sunday morning and then eat some after church next Sunday. So be back for that as well. Enjoy the afternoon. Man, have a great day today. Father, I pray that you bless us again. Thank you for each person that came this morning, Lord, for each family. Lord, I pray that you'd help all, Lord, so many different needs and situations. And Lord, I think of those who can't be here. Man, it's a lot of different issues and problems they're dealing with. Lord, just help them through those. And Lord, help us to just be excited about what you're doing here. And Lord, make some spiritual decisions that change us. As we see it change us, it'll change others as well. And help us to reach this world for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.